Welcome everybody to Case in Point episode 61. I have my wonderful co-host, Poncherello. How are you doing today?
Hey buddy, how's it going?
Not too bad. We're going to do a random show today. There's no agenda. There's no topics. It's going to be whatever hits us because we are going to do a more regimented show when Kyle Davis can join us. He's busy. He's got some cool stuff in the works outside of the podcast going on. So next time he's with us, we are going to do a wrestling episode. And Poncho and I talked about it last night. We had a little chat and we decided it would be good to do a more of a random episode. And so with that in mind, Poncho, start us off. What do you got?
Crap, put me on the spotlight, huh? What should we start with? Before you started recording, I was talking about a computer I built, so...
Let's hear about that computer. Wi-Fi versus hardcore Ethernet.
Yeah.
it's not going to get that bad, folks. No, he was laughing because I said from the moment I leave the computer, and I'm not at it actually doing something on it, I unplug that Ethernet cable. I don't mess around. I'm hardcore.
That was what was selling it though is his face. He was just like, man, I'm hardcore, and he had like a really stern, serious face. But
I'm always stern and serious. It's the case scowl. Get it from my mom's side. My dad was just grouchy.
Man, your mom had a scowl though. When you got you and your brother got her going, man.
Justin? Oh yeah. Oh yeah, it's always my fault too. You know, I'd say about 60% of the time that was accurate, but no. No, the sour bowl of milk, the Robin Hood Prince of Thieves cereal that I pushed my brother's face in, that was all me, yes.
But no, give him diabetes with that, man.
Yeah, but no, anyway, with computer stuff, I know that, you know, last year it's been hard to get a tower and things, and especially if you're trying to do a podcast like this, getting a good microphone. There's actually more people that are probably doing podcasting because they're home. Same thing with guitar playing. The guitar market skyrocketed, and if you want to catch more talk like that, you can check out my other podcast,
Smooth.
Pod Rock, the Pod Rock podcast. My friend Ben Stape and Ponch, he's gonna be with us on that on the next edition. So stay tuned for that. So if you like this show, you're gonna like this next episode of the Pod Rock podcast. And I know Ben is chomping at the bit, so it's gonna be great. But anyway. Notice how spry I am in the morning, folks. It's 9 o'clock here, and I'm just raring to go, full of beans, as Jody Yerden likes to say. And it's great. So this is awesome. So anyway, with getting towers is a hard thing to do, and I bought my wife an iBuyPower for just under $1,000. Brilliant, awesome computer. Really nice. And it's funny, because we got it for, like, probably in... I think she started working from, like, somewhere in the late spring, and... She's got a better setup than I do. Now, I mean, I built mine off the internet. I'm not gonna plug the company, but I put a new motherboard in. I've had the tower for 9 years, and it's a Pevia. It's got about 6 fans in it.
Oh, nice.
It's all green LEDs, and it's a black casing. It looks like a Borg cube or like Borg technology or Star Trek fan. And I need to take it apart so I can get the front fan out because that's got a lot of miles on it. I mean, 12 years old, so that front fan, I got to replace that. But it's cool. It's got like a LED display with the fan speed and a temperature sensor in there. It's awesome.
That's cool. And
it's hard to get cases. You can't. It's probably kind of hard. I don't know. But
I'll tell you a little bit about like how I went about building mine because I just built it. I bought the components. Like I finished getting the components by like mid to late January, you know, 3 months ago, and then I built everything. So I think we were talking about this yesterday a little bit, but I built everything from scratch. I, you know, scoured the internet. So the way I first started looking into this was that a coworker of mine, he had his custom built from a website. I don't remember the website offhand, so I don't need to plug anything. But he suggested that website to me, and it's been like at least 10 years since I last built or, you know, like configure anything, you know, hardware wise. So I just want to get like a baseline of what I could build. And then, so I use this website just so it gives you like templates based on like whether you want to do production, like, you know, 3D rendering, Illustrator, Photoshop design work, or if you're primarily building it for like a gaming rig.
So, oh, yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I built this computer because I want to get myself into 3D rendering. I think I kind of talked about it briefly in the last episode that was on. Yeah. But knowing the program I want to use and then how I want to get my computer built, I did research on, based on like the template that this website gave me, on like the best performance I can get for using that software. And also, since I'm getting building the next computer, I might as well play games on it too. So so I start off with that, and then I start researching or looking into like how much each component would cost. And what's crazy is that going off of what you're saying earlier about people staying home, or a lot of people staying home because of, you know, current world situation, but a lot of people, like the computer hardware market has shot through some components, not all. Like certain cases are harder to find than others. Fortunately, the case I got was fairly easy because most of the components I got, I ordered off of Amazon. So a lot of the components were really easy to find. So in my experience, and granted, this was a few months ago, so it may be a little different now, but in my case, the computer case, CPU fans, the motherboard, the hard drives, I installed the SSD, the M.2 NVMEs. They look like tiny RAM chips.
Yep.
That hard drive, the memory, and the CPU fan were fairly easy to find for the most part. I had no issues with those. The power supply too. That was fairly easy to come by.
Right.
The two components that were, in my experience, harder to get were the CPU and the video card, especially a video card. So I had to unfortunately buy both of those on eBay because I guess there's like a worldwide shortage going on of just software chips in general. And not only is it affecting...
I'd heard that, yeah.
Yeah. And so not only is it affecting computer components, it's also affecting some smartphones and also cars, because a lot of like modern cars uses a lot of like computer chips to control certain aspects of the car. So that's been affecting also. So unfortunately, I had to, even though I got the components on for both, I had to spend a little more for both of them. But what's crazy is that I think I searched a few weeks ago, because I still want to get other components too. And the video card, since I bought mine, has actually gotten even more expensive. When they do trickle out in retail, whether scalpers, crypto miners, or just gamers, they have like bots set up where as soon as stuff goes on stock online, it gets instantly bought out.
Yeah, as a freaking bots, and it's like that with toys or anything else. I'm sick of it.
Yeah, it sucks. And like for me, I mean, I do like light mining here and there just to get like extra coin. But I want to get like another computer set up as like a secondary one, or just to upgrade the GPU or the video card that I have. And dude, like I follow people on Twitter. I have Discord channels I follow where they post like things that are on stock, and within 5 seconds it's already sold out. It's insane.
Yeah, it's crap. You might as well. I think that this is a case for having big box stores again, where you can actually get some of the stuff. I know that there's supply and demand, but at the same time, that's just another reason you need to have brick and mortar stores.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't think, I'm not going to say nothing. I common sense, it would be nice. You see, Fry's Electronics had just they're closing. They were, I don't know if you're familiar with them, but they're primarily, they are West Coast.
Yeah, I've heard of them.
Yeah. I used to go to, I've been to the one in Seattle. That one was picked over. It was a huge facility, massive. It's like a warehouse style, you know, huge. Yeah, it's huge. It's like almost like being an aircraft hangar in comparison to like a Target or something, right? Because it's like electronic wholesale kind of deal, but they're a little spendy depending on what it is. But you can find any. You used to be able to find whatever you needed for individual computer components, chips, whatever. They would have pegboards just full of individual. They had Flux there. They had anything to build a computer. They had it, and they had CDs and DVDs, Blu-rays, video games, washers, dryers, TVs, anything, junk food, caffeinated beef sticks. So if you wanted to get really fat and play a lot of MMOs and eat almond roca while you're grinding, as they like to say, they could hook you up. And I found all of Journey's first 10 albums. I found them factory sealed for $5 a piece. I bought them out.
Man, wow.
And cool. some of the albums weren't that great, but some of the ones were, and it's like, I'm a music guy, so it's all good. I like the artwork too on this, on them. They're really nice, so really artistic. But anyway, and sometime I'd like to pick your brain about that, Ponch. But
sure.
I mean, Fry's is gone, and it's a real shame because that's one less place you can go if you want to build something yourself without having to go on the internet.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Well, a few other things I learned from, you know, my build. Going to like actual stores like a Best Buy to buy components, it's almost impossible unless you go to like a specialty computer store. And even then, with the current shortage,
you
know, especially for like I've seen CPUs are a little easier to come by compared to GPUs, video cards, but it's still fairly tricky to find. But I've another thing I learned too that I found out was that websites that do pre-built computers where you, I mean, they, as I was mentioning before, you have like a template, like a pre-made set template, and then from there you can configure or swap out components and stuff.
Right.
I found out that, or I learned that some of those manufacturers, when new stock of video cards do come out, sometimes they're some of the first to get them because since they're building computers instead of like selling components like individually, mm-hmm. they get first priority over, you know, places that sell components individually. So
makes sense.
Yes, and so the build times may take a little longer. It could be anywhere between like 2 weeks to even a month compared to if you choose one of the more higher end and hard to find video cards, it'll take a little longer, but it should at least guarantee that you will get one instead of like playing the bot game or, you know,
overpaying
on eBay. Yeah, so
crap. Yeah, it's like when Mattel put out that Mr. T. They had the WWE Mr. T, the one in the box, the one I've got where he's got the camo pants on and he's got the full getup when he was in WrestleMania. He would do some promo. I think he did some vignettes for the
Vignettes.
Vignettes. The vignette or vignettes? Because we gotta go look at the proper usage. No, whatever. You guys know what I mean. And so with that, they had put that. They used Instagram to market that toy, and it was gone quick. And I told my wife, and this was last summer. I said, "Frickin' bots." I go, "Guarantee you. There's just no way you could sell out in 2 seconds like that." And so, but I ended up getting it, and guess what? They had the gougers around there trying to sell them for $150. I got mine, ended up getting it for $50. After I waited about 8 months, I got it for like $15 more than what the original price was. And I got free shipping, so there you go.
Yeah, that's still not bad.
No, because the thing is like, you could wait on something like that because there's a lot of them that are made. It's not on retail. But I think the way things might be heading, at least for action figures in some cases, depending on how popular it is, they're going to make enough of them. Like, wrestling's pretty popular still. There's a big enough market with the wrestling collectors. I mean, they have them in retail. But with something like that, waiting is okay. It's not going to go up in price because there's just too many. And so something like that, I'll roll the dice. But it's like I get all my stuff through Big Bad. That's not a plug, but maybe it is because they're a cool website. I get nothing from them. Just throwing that out there. And I end up I do pre-orders. Pre-orders are where it's at. And it's like Castle Grayskull, pre-ordered that. And it's pretty insane right now because not only with the computers, but also with the toys. Now, I will tell you, here's a third. Let's expand this. You touched on cars. Let's also mention that there's guitar amplifiers that use components. And nowadays, and if you want to hear more about this, you can check out the Pod Rock podcast.
Plug, shameless plug.
I gotta boost that show up, man. I just looked at the stats and it's not good. But we're brand new, so we're only three episodes. But what I'm trying to say is if you take an amp that uses a circuit board as opposed to point-to-point wiring, which is all hand-wired, which, you know, that's more vintage. You've got MIDI loops. You've got all kinds of things where you can, with the amp, you can assign settings. That's all going to take a lot of components. Diodes, resistors, any of that stuff. I think it extends even into that. And it's also a lot of companies, especially car companies, if you buy a nice computer like an Alienware or something like that, I would think they'd want to use the best quality components they have. they can get. And so there's the biggest thing. And, you know, it's really kind of a changing market right now. It's a strange time to be alive. But in a lot of ways, it's a good time to be alive with the availability of new properties out there. And, you know, really, companies like Hasbro and stuff, they're digging into more obscure characters and things like that. So, and plus, you know, you've got a lot of the Marvel stuff. But, yeah, I mean, like I said, I bought my wife's case as a full set because I looked at the stats and I'm like, you know what, for what she needs, that's even exceeds what she would need. And she's able to do anything with it. And the fans are super quiet. You can't even hear the thing. My computer here, I don't even know, you might be able to hear it over the microphone. I just got a little Logitech camera. This thing's a powerhouse. But nowadays, the fans aren't even that loud anymore. And my computers, my fans and stuff are about probably 3 years old. But even since then, now, and you notice how the cases are so small now. I mean, you can't even really call it a tower anymore. It's like a little gaming case. And the reason the fans are so efficient now, the cooling is so much better. You don't need to have this huge hulking Borg cube on your desk like I do.
Yeah. Well,
I'm not getting rid of it, though. As long as it'll hold motherboards that are current, I'll keep it.
Yeah. Know? Well, I mean, like case sizes, it, for the most part, like I have, when I built mine, I got what they call a mini ATX case, which is, I think, height's about, I'd say.
They're really nice.
Yeah, the one I have, it's very, like, minimalistic. Like, I'm not into, like, crazy LED lights. So the only lights that are on my computer are what comes off the motherboard. That's about it. Because the fans, I was more concerned about getting proper airflow and term that they use? I mean, the case fans I got there are super quiet because I can tell you the company name later on, but like I think is there's like even with on the for the case fans they have like ball bearing joints and also like there's other terms too that I don't remember where the less friction that happens as the fan is going the more all energy efficient it is and also it allows for maximum airflow capacity or whatever you want to call it so it just
right
because I did a lot of research on having the most efficient airflow so from the front you want the air to be drawn in so that it flows over like where you have your video card and you know CPU motherboard and stuff from there you want the air to go to blow out and you know there's like some cases that allow better airflow and you know air you know be more efficient with airflow than others but yeah like I the ones I have and also like some case fans they also have like these rubber bumpers you can install where you would screw in the fans into the case, and that cuts down sound even more because you know less the vibrations being absorbed by the rubber feet. But
you know, and what you could do is get some of that sound mat too, and you could actually because it's adhesive, you could put that inside your case as long as it's not conductive. I think you'd be okay. But it's metal anyway, so it doesn't matter because these are steel chassis. But, now, do you keep your tower off the floor? I keep mine up on the desk. It's huge, but I try to keep it off the floor so I don't get any static or any.
Yeah,
dust accumulation.
Well, it's good to not have it directly on the floor. Well, right. So doing the research that I did on like cases and airflow and that kind of stuff, it's okay to have it on the floor. Now I'll answer your question a bit, but it's okay to have it on the floor as long as it's not sitting on carpeting because the carpet most cases have the power supply on the bottom and the power supply most of nowadays have its own cooling fan and that the air goes
it'll restrict it yes
yeah and also like any dust that might build up from the carpet could also like
sure
like, it could yeah it, it'll cut down on exhaust when you want to have like again have like a decent airflow so but mine I have my computer case or not my case excuse me my desk it's like a multi-level desk where it has like a bottom level where sometimes I'll rest my feet and then like another level where I have like my monitor and stuff and then it has like a level above that where you know you could put like speakers or whatever but my case is on that lower level so it's not quite on the floor it's like maybe I'd say about 3 or 4 inches above the floor but then the case I have also have the feet that it raises the bottom of the case by about maybe about an inch or so.
Yeah, that's what I've got as well. Yes. Yeah.
So, yeah. But, yeah,
you know, it's good stuff. If you got, you get what you pay for with computers. And some of them might look nice. Some of them might seem like a good deal. But I'm going to tell you something. You cheap out on a computer, it's going to get slow real fast. And I'm a proponent of building it yourself. That way it doesn't have a bunch of adware on there and this is stupid. I mean, you could go into your system registry and delete those files out. That's not something that everybody should be doing. I'm not suggesting that. If you know what you're doing, it's fine. I do it all the time because I had an IT guy show me how to do it once, and I picked up on it pretty quick. But I go, if you were to get a computer like from Best Buy or something or wherever a retailer, I would go in and have all that crap taken out because all it does is just take up system resources. It takes up a lot of space. I mean, by the time you have these operating systems, like most, Apple or Windows, they take up a lot of space. They do so many things. And anything you can do to open up that storage and that, but really, most importantly, the system resources, that's really a good thing to do. And, you know, it's funny because I have two computers. I got this Windows 10 deal in a case I've had for 12 years. But I have I've got an iMac. It's a 2017 4K Retina whatever. And I use it just for music, you know. And it's okay. I actually had to spend an extra $500 to have more RAM put in it because I didn't want to break the screen. I'm like Wreck-It Ralph. I know that you can run a plastic tool around the monitor. I would break the thing. I don't know my own strength, and I'd probably snap it in half and have nothing to work with. So I took it to a local place that's actually certified, and they put maxed out the RAM for me. I'd have to go see how much I put in there, but it's maxed out to the hilt, and I use it just for music, so it works out okay. And you know, even then, I mean, you look at the system resources, and like Apple's always updating their OS, and it's just, you know, when I first got the computer, it was Mojave, right? That was fine. I never should have upgraded from that because after that, half the stuff out there doesn't work anymore because the suppliers of the software don't want to update their stuff to keep up. You think they would so they'd sell more stuff, but not happening. So I think I'm using Catalina right now. Maybe it's even something different now. I'd have to go check, but it's hard. It's hard because those aren't 64 meg, or they're not 64-bit programs, some of them, and when they upgrade the OS like that, they just don't follow suit, so you end up not being able to use it on your Mac. So that's one thing that I've had to deal with. So, not to get too far into that, but no, I do like the Mac because it's all contained into one thing, right? I don't have an iPhone. I don't have whatever they call the tablets, what do they call them, Punch?
Oh, the iPad?
Yeah, I'm not in the Apple cult. I don't worship Apple. I don't think that, I'm not one of these people that thinks, well, that's the only thing there is out there. I like Windows stuff really well. It's more versatile. It's easier to work on. It covers more ground. It's not as proprietary. There's just a lot of things I like about it, but I have both for different reasons. And, you know, do what you have to do. And this tools of the trade for whatever you're working on. And so, I mean, if you're doing video and sound production, like Apple's great. It's like probably the best you can do. But obviously, if you're playing video game and you want to keep up in your systems, I don't play a lot of games, but I'd like to segue into what games on PC you're playing and what I'm doing is to round out the show. I like being able to have, I can slide that window off. I've got a huge panel on my tower. I see everything. I can even see the processor, the numbers that's shooting back at me right now. I can see all of that stuff. And that's if cool. There's something hitting a fan or something, or maybe a stray wire or something, I zip tie my stuff. That also helps airflow as well. You can see if it's what's hitting, you know. And it's all lit up in there. Like I said, it looks like you're in like a Borg hive or something. And it's Unimatrix 001, you know. But it's great, and I like being able to reach in there, pull what I need out, and put in the new stuff. And I've slaved out, I've got two hard drives, two of my old hard drives, which are SATA connections, and also I've got a solid-state drive plugged in via USB on top, and that's got huge storage. So
you know, I recommend when, this can go into, like, the gaming stuff, but, When you do, next time you upgrade your motherboard, definitely look into M.2 SSDs because so there's like I mentioned before, like they look like tinier versions.
Oh sure, yeah, I know.
They look like tinier like RAM chips.
Right.
But so you have M.2s, and then there's also a second version called a NVMe. I don't know exactly what the lettering means, but these hard drives plug directly into the motherboard. There's no cabling or anything like that. And on my computer,
I just did this because I'm lazy and I liked having my old hard drives right there so I can just access them. I didn't feel like doing a file transfer.
Well, you can still use them. You know, I'm not saying like you can't, because you still can. But so how I have my setup is that I have the a half terabyte NVMe M.2 hard drive plugged directly into my motherboard,
right.
And cold boot to desktop, 15 seconds at most.
Well, it's then I'll ship my computer to you and I'll have you fix it. You know, I never even bothered to see if, so my motherboard I'm using right now is an ASRock.
Mm-hmm. And those are good.
Yeah, I like them. If, for me, I'm not trying to run NASA, okay? I just wanted something that was better than what I had. And if I had to replace it, I was going to at least get something a little better. And this thing can accommodate a lot more. I mean, I can't see the back of it right now. I'd have to turn it around. But I've got connections up the wazoo in the back. And it has a lot more capability. I've got a Blu-ray drive in it right now. And, you know, I substantially upped the ante as far as capabilities to more modern standards. And that is one thing I didn't like, though, is that Windows does not have a bona fide media player for discs. I mean, for like Blu-rays and hard media. I just don't. I know, well, you didn't get up with the times. Well, guess what? I have a substantial library of stuff that's out of print you can't even get, and you can't even get it digital. So you know what? I would like to have that capability. Thank you.
Well, and you're better off finding your own app that handles multimedia because
yeah, and that's what I did. I think I'm using that Lee Woo thing or whatever it is. It's it's Lee Woo Professional Media is what I'm using. It's just a freebie, but it works great.
Mm-hmm. You ever try a VLC?
It's shareware. I mean, they make it free. So, mm-hmm.
You
so
ever try a VLC?
Hey, I'll VLC try anything as long as it's not pirated.
No. This is a free media player. But what I like about it is compatible with a ton of file formats, which most are nowadays.
Yeah.
But for me, the options you can customize on there is pretty. It's pretty like it goes pretty deep, and it plays digital media formats and even disk format too, as long as you have the optical drive to play the stuff. But
right.
Yeah, that's why I recommend. Trying that out.
I'll go check that out because I'll see. I think what happened was is I did a search when I first got this computer when I upgraded to Windows 10. Actually, when I installed this motherboard, I got that program. I bought that program. Mm-hmm. But it was I didn't know. But I did a search for like best media players for Windows 10, and I didn't. If that one, and this is like 4 years ago, if that one had come up, I missed it. But I do see it's on the Microsoft store. So I don't know what it cost. Oh, it says it's free.
Yeah, no, it's always free. If you see an option to pay for it, that's probably, since I've been using it, it's always been free. So
okay, well, yeah, I'll check that out because it looks like I need to get an external player for my Mac as well. So, but like I have the A-Team box set and it's region 1, I believe.
Okay.
Which is UK and parts of Europe, and it works great. It works on my Blu-ray player, but it won't work on an Xbox. You know, 1S, but it would work on a computer. So I often thought about going and I tried to get one of those region free ones off Amazon. I sent it back because it wasn't region free. It was a freaking fake scam. So I got my money back. And so I went ahead. I might go ahead and get a small computer just to play region 1 stuff. And then I can just plug it into my, is probably what I'll do.
Yeah. Yeah. You can. So one thing I found out, like, you know, amongst all the other things I learned from my build, I went for some of the more expensive higher-end components only because I wanted to have it future-proof to a certain extent.
Sure.
So, like, the way I have it set up, I'm good for at least 3 to 5 years, unless some of the components fail or whatever. But what I learned, too, is that you can get a pretty decently built computer for, like, I've seen, like, tons of videos where, pretty prominent YouTube channels that focus just on computer, like, building and components, hardware and stuff, you can get a really good, like, if you're focusing more like a media player-centric computer, for like $500, you can get
really, really
good.
Yeah, that's what I spent to upgrade this, because I had the case, I had the peripherals, and I that's what I did. I said, you know what, I'm going to set a budget for $500. What can I get for that? Because it's kind of a fun challenge, right? And I went, and that's what I did the same thing, Ponch. And I said, you know what, this is a good motherboard. And, you know, my buddy Ben, I bounced it off him, and I remember talking to you about the Apple that I got, and remember I was talking to you about that. And I went ahead and I bought I paid $160 for a computer for my son off of Amazon that was a refurb, right? Mm-hmm. So when I got it, I went ahead and I put in a better video card. I do have another CPU for it, but it's acting weird, so I took it back out, put the old one back in. I put a quad core. It's got a dual core right now, but the quad core one I have, I got to check the serial numbers on the motherboard to make sure that it's actually going to work. I watched a video where a guy had upgraded the same one with the same CPU, and it worked great. So I don't know why it's not working, but it'll sit there and go, chiggy.
Oh, that's not good, man.
Chiggy. Yeah, so I took it. I only paid $20 for this. So I was like, wow, this isn't going to work. This is only $20 in the hole. I don't care. So, no, it works great. I updated the RAM and the video card and for, like, I think grand total $60. And probably just under $200 for a really good computer. And my son could do whatever he wants. He could play modern games and all that stuff. And it's a low profile because it was an old what is that thing? It's a Dell. Hang on a second. Yeah, it's a Dell OptiPlex 390.
Oh, okay. Yeah, those are like tinier form factor computers.
Yeah. They're low profile. So I went and got the video card I got was a GeForce. It was a really nice one. And I think I spent not much. I mean, because I got it on eBay for a good deal. And that's what I did. I went and found, instead of just going, oh, go to Amazon. It's like, I don't have to do that. I have other people that can sell it for a third of the price. Why? I'd be smart about things. And so, yeah, that's what I did for him. And he's been happy. In fact, he sits right behind me. So I can monitor what he's playing and stuff and making sure he's not stumbling onto things accidentally. And he likes freaking Roblox all the time. And
oh, man.
And I go, dude, you got to stay off there once in a while. If you're going to play a game, you're going to play Star Trek with me. And that's it. Star Trek Online, Lord of the Rings Online, City of Heroes Reborn. That's a good one. Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. Or not Knights of the Old Republic. It's Star Wars The Old Republic.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
We don't get a lot of chance to play games, because I'm a super busy guy. I always have other crap going on, but when we do that, and I like having the ability to play the same games he can play. You know, and nowadays they're all free to play anyway, and then it's like, even if you don't buy a lot of stuff off the in-game stores, they're fantastic games. DC Universe Online is another one, and so that's great. Star Trek's been the big win. That's the one we really like playing. And I got him a Romulan Scimitar ship, like the one off of Star Trek Nemesis. And that thing's a beast. But that was kind of like he did really well in school, so I let him get that ship. It was like a $30 ship, but that's what he uses all the time. So, but then they got a lot of really good free ships on there. Like if you do enough events, they got like tier 6, which is the top tier. And then they've got a campaign right now. If you finish the events, that's 4 months, you get like the brand new, you get that ship from Star Trek Picard. It's the Inquiry class. It's the one that Riker used when he showed up and faced off on all those warbirds, those Romulan warbirds. And they have that ship too. But they got a promo right now where, like, if you play the events, they just give you the ship, which is awesome. Cause then probably on the auction hall, you probably have to spend a lot of money. So it's great. And it's a replica of the Xing He, the ship, the Xing He. That's the one that he was using. And he had that whole fleet of those Inquiry class Starfleet ships. So, which is an offshoot of Pathfinder, I think. Maybe not Pathfinder. I don't know. If there's any Star Trek marks out there, they're probably losing their minds right now because they didn't say the right ship model. But anyway.
Set your phasers stun, guys.
Yeah. Here, I'll bend over for you. Yeah. I can take it. Set up the batting cage. Hit me.
Not the moon you want to watch when you're venturing out there.
Well, if they want to hit me that bad in the rear end, they better can't pluck out your mind's eye.
No.
Yeah, so think twice. You have to put up my bad Starfleet ship class knowledge. Anyway, that's what we're doing. I know that you don't really play any online games anymore. What were you working on? PC. It doesn't necessarily have to be online, but just.
Well, to answer your question earlier, the only game I'm playing on a PC right now is Cyberpunk 2077, because I originally bought that on my PS4, and I have the first model PS4, and it was. Okay. To give you like a super quick story on its release. So this game was in development for about 7-8 years, something like that. And when they first announced the game a few years ago, it was advertised for it to be, running on the PS4. So people, so Cyberpunk 2077 is kind of like a futuristic steampunk version of like a Grand Theft Auto, where it's kind of like a open sandbox type of game. You got a stuff you can do on the main storyline, but then you could also do like side mission kind of random stuff here and there. And there's also like other random stuff you can run into, events or whatever. But so fast forward the fall of last year, and the game was released, and the original system that was supposed to run on when they first announced the game is also, you'll also experience some of the worst gameplay on it, because it seemed like they were more focused on having it run more optimally on higher-end computers, CPUs, and also, like the PS5 and the new Xbox Series, whatever they call it now. And if you had like a last-gen, like PS4, even if it's a PS4 Pro or the Xbox, whatever the One S, X, whatever it is, it does not run anywhere close to how they promised or how they advertised it would. So there was a lot of like,
Does it freeze up and scramble a little bit? Like, does it stick sometimes? Or
that's not even that just scratches the surface on how messed up it runs on older consoles. Like your characters falling through the floor. There's a certain term for it, I don't remember, but like,
oh wow,
where you're supposed to be walking, say down the sidewalk out in the street, you just happen to fall through the floor and just like fall infinitely until the game crashes or you force it to restart. You have a lot of like clipping going on where if you run into a car, you just phase right through it instead of like crashing. You have AI issues where if you commit a crime, the police never show up, even though in the game, when you engage in combat, however way you do it, the music, the soundtrack kind of gets more intensified. So kind of like, it gets you more riled up and amped up as you get into like combat. So when that happens, no police or law enforcement shows up whatsoever. So you just basically roam around without any consequence. And even like the AI, when you do engage in combat, they when they should be hiding, they just stand right in front of you and just eat damage until you do enough to kill them. But it was just at least for older consoles, it wasn't a good experience. So. And I didn't buy the computer or build the computer initially to play games, but since it's a powerful computer, I just figured, why not? So it runs much better on the higher end. So I think for that game, they should have advertised it or released it more for higher end computers and next gen game or consoles. So anyway, I've been playing that. I've always been a console gamer first. So what am I playing right now? I play Final Fantasy VII Remake off and on. I played most of that during the spring of last year when it was first released.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to. I have a lot of games that I need to catch up on. So the next console game or PS4 game I'll be playing is Horizon Zero Dawn, which is fantastic. It's kind of like a post-apocalyptic game, but not in the sense of like everything's so dire. And it's one of those things that like after. Like a post-civilization type of game where people, like, where they once had technology, they've regressed back to kind of like, 1800s. Not 1800s, but...
Is it trying to be is it like steampunk crap?
No. It's okay. Kind of like the technology... Time has got advanced so... Well, time has passed to the point where, like, technology seems more like a legend. And, kind of like a relic type of thing. And instead of, like, say, using, if they find a boombox for, like, music, they'll tear it apart and use it for, like, as, like, a eating hardware or whatever. So it's...
Toaster, yeah.
Yeah, so it's it sounds very interesting, and I mean, I'll be starting that. I've also been
so that they're kind of like the cell, like they're like electronic salvage, and yeah. They repurpose. Yes.
Yeah, and it's it's also become more like a tribal type of thing where you have like different tribes living in certain areas.
Yeah, like this is the clan, or it's like the depending on if it's like a Star Trek thing, they like what are those, the Akamarians, where they're like this clan doesn't like, you know, they're like, we want rights and or whatever. I can't remember the storyline, but it was kind of weird. But yeah, I get what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's, I haven't started yet, but I've read a lot of great stuff about it. It's going to be a fun game to play. I've also been playing Animal Crossing on the Switch. That's kind of like one of those bite-sized games you can play for like 10, 20 minutes and, you know, get.
That's what I like, because you can cut loose.
Right, yeah.
If you got to go, I'm busy. I don't have time to sit around and play video games all day.
Right.
So great. Yeah.
Games like that would be great, because it's a game that you can spend 10, like I said, 10 to 20 minutes and be done for the day, or you can invest hours into it and still get a lot from it. So, you know, games like that would probably be better suited for people like you. But
Hey, man, I wish that time would slow down like that for me, where I could just, you know, spend some time on things, but that's just not reality for me at this point. And I really like the Switch a lot. I really do. And I just bought a Street Fighter for 20, I think it was $20. That Street Fighter anniversary has like all the versions of Street Fighter on it for the Switch.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's a great system. And my son plays it with me, obviously, but like they've got some cool stuff. And I'm trying to think, what else did I get for that? Because we got the Mario Brothers Lego thing, we've been playing a lot of Wii games too. Because you have the Super Mario Brothers Maker, we haven't really played it a whole lot yet. But that game's still expensive. That's still super expensive. And that game is like considered like a gold. I mean, even on the secondary market, it's expensive. It's just all the Super Mario Brothers marks are out there, and they just won't. It's crazy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, what Nintendo's been doing a lot lately for the past, I'd say, year or so, is that they've been porting games for a while. They're porting Wii games, and then lately they've been porting a lot of Wii U. So, I have both the Switch and the Wii, and there are some games. Before I got the Switch, I was playing on the Wii U, like Zelda Breath of the Wild. Played just as well on the Wii U as it did on the Switch, but I guess because the Wii U wasn't a financial success for Nintendo as like the Wii was, and now as the Switch is, they're kind of not trying to wipe it out of existence, but more like, well, there's no reason for you to play the Wii U if a lot of those games are available on the Switch. So they've been porting a lot of those games, and also like some of the games that they do port, like, you know, some of the Mario games. I think there was one called Mario 3D World or something like that. It's a super fun game, man. It's a definitely like a family friendly game. Mm-hmm. And when they ported that from the Wii U to the Switch, they actually added a brand new DLC exclusive to the Switch. So they've been doing a lot of that. Just that's their flagship console right now. So why not push it?
Yeah, and if you watch some of the update videos, like the upcoming releases, you can go on like YouTube or something, watch them. Man, what a wide variety of games. I mean, they got something for everybody. And I'm not trying to promo Switch or anything. I get nothing, but I'm just stating the facts that if you're a video game person, but you want, like you said, games that everybody can, not just someone sitting in a room, slide my Hot Pocket under the door while I make statues of my hair. and not have any friends and just, you know, just shut everyone out. If you're someone who likes to play games with other people, virtually or in person, it's a great way to go. And my kids love the thing. And the thing is that I love cross-compatibility. And so that is one thing I did like about the Wii U. But the problem with the Wii U is it didn't go far enough as far as being a new. And that's why, like you said, it's kind of like Jurassic Park 2, right? Let's just forget that app. Right to three. Yeah. We'll introduce a pterodactyl, and it's gone far enough where it's a new movie. Right? it's great. I told my wife, I said, you know what? If we buy any more video games, we're going to get them for the Switch. And the Xbox thing's a racket, because I am not going to go out and buy a disc when you have to download the game off their servers anyway. There's no point.
Yeah,
I went and got Elder Scrolls, right? It was the Elder Scrolls. Well, I went to the bargain bin at Best Buy, and I went and got this thing. Oh, it was $20. Oh, great deal. I gave her $20. You know, I'll just, you know, do a quick update. No, you put the thing in. It says, I updated it. It says, this game, you must update to the new Elder Scrolls game. Oh, and that's another $40. Okay, oh, so I paid $20 for nothing, and it's a non-returnable game. Because I don't care. $20, who cares? But it's a non-returnable game because it's an online game, and it's a frickin' racket, so I'm going to save everyone else the trouble who might be falling into my category, who's out of touch with a lot of video game stuff because I just don't follow it. Learn from what I'm telling you now so you don't fall in the same trap. Don't buy any of that crap. Just go in, and they got good sales on downloadable content, and if they're not going to, the disc is independent. If it's not independent, then don't waste your money and just get a game off the market. I mean, that's the way to go. And the Switch is great. I mean, they still use those little cartridges.
That'll always
be around. Why? It's almost the same thing. It's almost like, why even bother, you know, because you have to update it anyway.
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that's the case for, I mean, some games, yeah, but not for all.
Not entirely, okay.
Yeah, so, like, say for newer games, you might run into that more, but, like, since they've been porting a lot of the older, you know, games from older systems, it's not so much the case. And also, like, I think I don't know the capacity of those carts. I think it's, like, I don't know, be somewhere between 25 and 50 gigs. I'm not sure exactly, but it holds a fairly decent amount, and cartridges are a lot more durable. Way more durable than, like, disc are.
Well, so, and I did notice the updates aren't nearly as long. They're, like, a fraction of what they are for, like, an Xbox. So I never played a PlayStation, but let me just a sidebar comment here, Ponch. I think the new Xbox looks like a piece of crap. It's a doorstop. I would rather have them take a petrified drum of Tang and say that's the Xbox, the new Xbox. At least it would say Tang on it.
Yeah, it's definitely, like, very minimalistic, which, you know, I can appreciate, but I see where you come to.
Well, I had a friend who bought one, and it crapped out within the first 6 hours. Internal power supply failed.
That's crazy.
And he'd been, like, chomping at the bit, like, oh, I can't wait. I can play Madden all this. I can play Madden, and I can do all this. I can introduce world peace with it. You know, he didn't say that, but you know what I mean. I saw pictures of it, and I'm like, this thing looks terrible. This is the best you can do? It's hideous.
You should see what the new PS5 looks like. That's even more polarizing, the way it looks.
I thought that looked pretty good, but they didn't stick with the prototype design I would have preferred. Yeah. I wanted that V-shaped thing that looked like it had, it was jet-powered. That's the one I wanted, just over the top, and people think it's ugly. I like weird stuff. Like, I want a Cybertruck. Why can't I have a Cybertruck? Well, it's not meeting current safety regulations, they go back to the drawing board. But I want a Cybertruck because I like sci-fi, and I think it's a cool-looking truck. It's awesome. I want one. Dual motor.
Look into that new Tesla, was that electric SUV that looks like it was pulled from a PS1 game. Yeah, it looks hideous, but maybe you might dig it.
See, well, I like futuristic-looking stuff. But, see, here's the thing. I like... Like, remember that movie, The Wraith? Do you remember that movie, The Wraith, with Charlie Sheen? It was like one...
Oh, yeah.
That might be his first film. I'd have to go check. I know there's probably Charlie Sheen experts out there that have pictures of him on their wall with candles set up, and that's their break room or whatever. They go and, you know, whatever. But every actor or actress has their people. But I'm just going off the rails here. Anyway, no, what I'm trying to say is I like The Wraith. That movie had that cool car. It was a Mopar prototype, Dodge Interceptor, right? And the Cybertruck reminded me of that car. So I like the Cybertruck. I'd like to get one. But the wait list is so big, and they're still doing some engineering tweaks on it. It'd be pretty cool. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I think that the PS5 is something I would get if I'm going to get another console. I never pay cash for a console, so to speak. What I do is I get points
for my credit card. Five-finger discount?
Oh, yeah, sure, yeah. I put it in. Hey, man, I got something here. Check it out.
This is hot.
It's hot. It's hot potato. What I do is usually when I the last two systems we bought, we use credit card points.
Oh, cool.
Because we just pay our card off every month, and then we get points. We don't get interest on it. We just use them. We make the system work for us. And you rack up some pretty good miles, and then you can use it for like an Amazon card or something like that. And that's what I do. And so like, yeah, like our Switch, we didn't pay anything for it. Actually, we had so many points. We bought like 10 or 11 games for it.
That's cool.
So we didn't pay anything really. So, and then the Wii U that we got was, it was a gift from my wife's work. They gave her a bunch of Amazon stuff, points or card or whatever. And then she went and got that because she really wanted it. And so that's what we've been using. And then I used eBay earnings from, I sold a bunch of toys and got the Xbox One S. And I got the Minecraft bundle because I know my son really wanted it. So we went and, so I really haven't paid cash for a system in a long time. I think the last one I bought, it was the PS3, which I think is a great system. I love it a lot. I still do. They recently, probably, I don't know, was it in the last few months, shut down the server. You can't stream off it anymore.
That sucks.
Yeah, I use a Roku instead. But, I mean, hey, I got good use out of it. I think when the PS3 come out, wasn't it 2010?
No, before that. I think it was like 2006 or 2007.
Okay, so well, I got the later version that had, it was a streamlined version.
Is it the, so there were three models that came out. There was the, what they call the PS Fat or PS3 Fat, which is the original model, which is gigantic.
Yeah, yeah, it looks like a Master System, yeah.
Yeah. Then you have the PS3 Slim, which is, you know, a smaller form factor. And then the third one called the PS3, I think some people call it the Slimmer, where it's even more compact than the Slim. And what's significant is that the top portion slides so you can access the drive bay. So
I got the second one where it's slim and it's got an arch to it. That's the one I've got. Yeah.
And it's got the matte finish?
Yes, matte finish,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's one I have too. It's a fantastic system. Yeah. And little known fact about it, that has one of the best Blu-ray players.
Compared
to like a standard Blu-ray, standard Blu-ray player, it has one of the best ones because you can configure settings so it optimizes whatever screen you have and even like the type of color output and whatever. So yeah, I dig that system. It's a great system. But
well, and that's why I'm going to get a PS5 next, because because of the Blu-ray capabilities. And I probably won't even use it for video games. I just want to have a good player. The Xbox sucks because it's a software player. And it looks like a freaking Godzilla movie when you're watching films. The mouth doesn't... there's lag between the motions and the sound. It's like, Godzilla! You know, you guys can't see me doing that. But there's so much lag there. It's annoying. I'm like, come on, guys. You guys are Microsoft. Can't you, with all your brain power and all of your... You know, I'm sure you could find it in your capacity to include an actual player in your console. Well, no one uses discs anymore. And it's like, well, some of us do. You have a disc drive in the system, use it. I'm done ranting.
No, I agree. I don't like the whole attitude of, like, no optical, which I think is garbage. Because by not having, I mean, well, I think the Xbox did too, but the PS5, they have two options. You can get one with the optical drive and one all digital, which is fine because, you know, when you take away the ability to play disc, you take away the secondhand market completely from people that buy the systems. And if somebody, I mean, yeah, the all digital does save up a lot of like space that you don't have to worry about shelving games and stuff. But if you want to resell your stuff, you can't because it's digital. And once you buy it, that's it. It's done. But as far as like discs, you play it, you buy a game, play it. Once you're done, I like to keep my stuff. Other people don't, so they can put on eBay, use that money to buy another game. I think having both options, I think, is the best way to go instead of like forcing people to try to. Even though there's like supposed all this market research or trends, whatever it is that they use, you know, tools to prove the all digital point, whatever. The thing is, I remember people saying the same thing about comics, that, you know, it was going to go all digital at some point, and, you know, going to a comic shop and buying physical books was going to be gone. And no, I remember when that type of talk was happening more often a few years ago. I said, you know, yeah, there will be more people reading digital, and you'll have a generation of kids that, you know, like, say your kids, they'll grow up having, you know, options of having stuff all digital, but then, you know, they it seemed like what happened instead was that instead of digital taking over print comics, they kind of go hand in hand. Where if you want to go to
inside, yeah,
yeah, exactly. So if you want to have something tangible, you can go to the shop, and you know that also provides, just like we were talking about before, when you have a physical store to get you know, buy your stuff, you get that physical experience of talking to somebody. And in case of comics, you know, the whole ritualistic aspect of picking up a comic from the rack, flipping through the pages just to quickly check it out before you decide buy or not. And like,
don't
you said,
touch
like,
my merchandise.
Hey, that's a shut up. So, but yeah, you have that, and most comics nowadays have at least from Marvel and DC, you have the option to read the digital version because it comes with a sticker covered code. And the way that it's, you know, you have the option where you can read the same comic, you know, both, you know, different methods. I think that's the best way of going. Mm-hmm. And I think PS5, but hopefully the gaming industry will stick to that for a while.
You know, it's funny. You reminded me of this old, since we were talking about PC games earlier. It was funny. Personal computer, not politically correct. Okay, let's just lay that out there. But PC games, okay? Personal computer games. There was a company called 3DO. You remember them? They tried to have their own console for a while.
Oh, my goodness, yeah.
they had a studio, and they came. Yeah, they did. Yeah, in the late 90s. They actually had a Star Wars game, X-Wing game.
I meant, do you have one?
No. Oh. But I have the PC games that they put out.
Okay.
They had a studio, and the Might and Magic series. You remember that game that I had? Might and Magic 98 is amazing. It still is. It's awesome. And they used real, it was kind of like the Mortal Kombat type imagery where they use real people.
Oh, okay.
So when you're playing the game, you're looking at actually studio actors and actresses that are that provided the image for the sprites, right? That's awesome. And you go into one of the vendors, I think it was like the guy who was the armor dealer, and he looks like Chris Farley, or he looks like maybe he could be Chris Farley's brother. And he goes, and he sounds like him too, right? He goes, "Don't touch the merchandise." He's got a really bad attitude. And if you don't buy anything, he said, they'll like, "So long, skate." Like, if you don't buy anything.
Oh, yeah.
But then once you got your merchant rank, your merchant skill up, maxed out, he'd be like, their mannerisms toward you change. Like, they're really nice. And they'd be like, "Come back soon." You know, no problem.
Yeah, that reminds me of God of War on the PS4. When you do like run into merchants to buy stuff, it's so funny because if you just browse through the inventory and not buy anything, like each vendor will say like their reactions will be different depending on where you see them and you know how fast you just look through the inventory and not buy anything. So
yeah,
one of the reactions is like, "Oh, so yeah, I guess you right now, you know, I'm not hurting him. I mean, I could use some of the coin, but you know, it's okay. I'll see you later. You know, it's fine." Just nice. Kind of guilt trip you into because you didn't buy anything. It's great.
Yeah. Yeah, that's funny. Yeah. I like games like that. And you know, some people would be like, "Well, you're just old. You're just like old school or whatever." And I'm like, no, there's a difference. There's a difference between a good game and one that sucks. It's just the way it is. And like, there's a website. And real quick, before we wrap this up, I really wanted to. I was thinking about this. It's kind of funny because we decided to go freestyle with this. We've kind of centered in on computers and games in general. And there's a site that I really like. It's not a plug, but it's called GOG.com. GOG.com. Good old games. Awesome site. Everything's formatted for current Windows operating systems. I think they might, I don't know if they cover Apple, but I think it was Windows. But I've got a bunch, like they have all of the old, like some of the Star Trek games. I got to pick up the one with the original cast. But they've got the ones, like for the NES. Remember that NES game you had and you traded it to me? It's awesome. It's the one where you do the away missions. It's just Star Trek for NES. It's awesome. And they've got, Interplay is the company that made all those. And again, it was more, in the mid to late 90s, you had those actual people that were the characters. And everything was CD-ROM based. It was a great time for games. It's fantastic. There's such a variety of styles and publishing styles. It's awesome. A lot of these indie studios that were putting out some amazing stuff, really innovative, and which you don't see much anymore as far as like different. But What I'm trying to say is that website's great. But the other thing I want to talk to you about was, I think there's a game, it's more of a homebrew, or it's like a custom, what is the name of that website where you're getting those custom games? It's like Instant Replay, or what is it called? They're very limited games.
Limited Run Games?
Limited Run Games. That's it, right?
Yeah, so what they are, this isn't a plug, they just...
Not a plug.
Sounds like it, though, but it's not.
There should be the episode titled Not a Plug.
This is not a plug. But, what they do is that, like we were talking about before, you have games you can get only digitally. So a lot of, current indie developers and publishers, they'll, because of cost, issues, reasonings, whatever, distribution, they only go digital. And a lot of those indie games are like bite-sized games. They don't take up too much space on your hard drive or whatever. And the problem with that is that when you quote unquote buy digital game, is actually a license that allows you to play the game on whatever console it's available for. If something were to happen, whether it's licensing being expired, or there might be licensed music on it or whatever. A perfect recent example is the Scott Pilgrim versus the World game. They used licensed music on the original digital version of the game, and the developer, the licensing agreement, whatever it was, it expired. And then they didn't re-up it. So what happened was they stopped offering that game digitally on the whatever digital market it was available on. So unless you previously bought the game before it was taken off the market, you couldn't buy it anymore. But they recently re-released it. And so what Live and Run does is that they'll take popular digital games and create a physical version of it. So that even if the digital version of the game is gone and it will never come back to whatever digital marketplace it was on previously, you have the physical form to play it whenever you want. And what they do, what's really cool, is that a lot of the modern games, unless you buy collector's editions, most of them don't have a manual, like a printed manual anymore. They don't have like extra bits, like cards, like postcards or anything like that. So Limit Run, they include that kind of stuff in most of their game. And in the case of some games where digital games, they have like DLCs released throughout the life of its release, a lot of times they'll package all that stuff in one. So instead of you worrying about like 0-day patches, which we were talking about earlier, everything's contained on the disc, so you can have a full experience of the game instead of like playing up until a certain point, then waiting for a DLC to come out, before you can download and keep on playing. So, and since they did start doing that, there's other websites that do similar things. Like, I don't remember all of them offhand. Like Special Reserve is another one, I think. There's quite a few of them, but it's cool. Like they're very heavy on having physical media.
I like it. Yeah.
So yeah,
just like Eddie Trunk, right? He needs the. I like having the physical copy. The liner notes, it's all there.
I think I don't know if your buddy on the other podcast, I don't know if he'd be down for this, but I think you should do a full-on Eddie Trunk episode where you do Eddie Trunk's voice.
Oh, and do the New Jersey accent, yeah. Yeah. Okay, Punch, thank you for the call.
Eddie, I was just wondering if you caught the Dawkins show that was at Jones Beach. And I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
No, I didn't catch it. I was in Los Angeles when that was happening. But I did hear about it. It was kind of a long set, but, it's great to see them out again. I had the exclusive interview.
Are you a fan of Zebra? Are you familiar with Zebra?
Zebra's great. I have got all their albums.
Yeah.
Zebra. What's Behind the Door? It's my favorite song. What's Behind the Door? That's Zebra. That's actually a good song. I like that song. You ever heard that song?
They're a good band. They're not
They take about 10 years to put something out, but it's Eddie Trunk knows all the names of like everybody. He's just like, yo, he's a perfectionist. He takes 10 years to put something out. He won't put it out until he's ready.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I like Eddie Trunk show a lot. I mean, I like it when he likes anything that's good. I mean, that's rock, guitar, bass, rock. That's his platform, but yeah, but we'll talk about that on another show. And I would like to do another one of these at some point with you, Ponch, and get Kyle in here because he's got a lot of input as well. You and him both have a vast knowledge bank of a lot of different like old games, new games, everything in between. So I think it'd be a great thing, I'd like to talk more about maybe some of the probably more memorable games that you like. And maybe some more. I know you know a lot about some of the homebrew stuff, and that I'd like to touch on that at some point. So maybe what we'll do, maybe in a few episodes, maybe we'll touch on some of the homebrew stuff. And I've got a few. I mean, I've got a Mega Man one. It actually plays in the NES, and it's cool. Got all kinds of, it's great. So it's got every Mega Man game that you could think of in an 8-bit form.
Oh, crap. Sorry, they go.
And Ponch, he's experiencing an independent earthquake. His device just fell over. It's localized to his coffee table.
It was stupid on the Richter scale.
Nice. It's off the charts.
More like off my coffee table.
Yeah. Your coffee table seismically. Yeah. Yes.
But yeah, I was gonna say, yeah, we can do like a series, like a video game series where we already like. Like a computer, whatever, series of like stuff. Yeah, because I enjoy talking about that. I mean, I'm not like a super hardcore gamer like some people maybe, but
you don't have your caffeinated beef sticks like I mentioned earlier.
Okay. Beef sticks?
It's nothing wrong. They have caffeinated beef sticks. And you can put them with your. I remember Circuit City used to sell those. They had the gamer pack, and it had this caffeinated beef sticks with the Rockstar drinks. And, yeah, I remember that was one thing they had, Gamer Pack, and it was, like, $35.
Yeah, more of an incentive to keep people chunky playing the games and developing all kinds of diseases from not moving all the time.
Yeah, we won't go too funky into that because my mind could go a million different directions with that. Anyway, folks, we're not a video game show. We try to stay well-rounded in the pop culture and toy arena. And movies, and you people that stick with us know what we're about. So, but we would like to do some video game centric stuff for a while because we really haven't tapped that vein a whole lot. And I would like to do that going forward with a lot of different things, really focus on elements of pop culture that maybe we really haven't focused on in the past. And toys is really a big part of the show, but I don't play video games as much as I used to, but I think it's still a good thing because you still play more current stuff than I do, and I Kyle does as well. So a lot of Twitch and things like that, where he's playing more of the online platform stuff. So yeah, that's great. I sounds good to me. And you got anything else, Ponch, before we wrap this up?
No, that's it. Yeah, if I keep on talking, this thing's gonna last longer than it is right now. So I'll just keep it short. See you guys later. Stay safe and don't do anything stupid.
Yep, catch us on Audio Boom, Spotify, Apple Music, anywhere where you can find podcasts. There's even people carrying my podcast I'm not even aware of, but it's free. They're not making, well, I hope they're not making money off me, but we don't charge for this podcast, and we just like doing it. This is what we do. We do it for fun. So, all right, folks, we'll catch you later, and have a stellar rest of your weekend.
Excelsior.
Oh, that's